issues, etc. What does this mean? We want to hear from you. Why do you listen? How has it helped you? What are your favorite topics? Who are your favorite guests? And what makes Issues Etc. unique? Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Issues Etc. What does this mean? 618-223-8382.
They swore a pact to the devil. They said, we will serve you if you'll get us free from the French. The devil said, okay, it's a deal. And they kicked the French out. But ever since, they have been cursed by one thing after the other.
You're dealing with a God who, judicially speaking, is a little crazy. This is like night court. He's just going and dismissing cases left and right.
What role does faith play in your life right now?
It's everything. It's everything. I mean, I grew up as a preacher's son. My father was a preacher for 50 years. Calling myself a God-fearing man, I got to read this book.
I guess you could say I got a little out of control. I dropped 400 grand on a bar mitzvah for my son. He's 9! And we're Lutherans!
Well, on this day, so many people taking off of work in honor of the memory of Martin Luther King Jr., some of my favorite words written by an American were written by this man, my favorite words, in his letter to a Birmingham jail where he talks about the church was once a thermostat and now has become a thermometer, and he bemoans the fact that the church had lost its prophetic voice in the social fabric of America. So much influence on the thinking of American people, on the legal structure that we have, on civil rights. Joining us on this Monday afternoon to talk about the right to life as a civil rights issue, Dr. Alveda King, the niece of the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this Monday afternoon, January the 18th. We'll spend the first half hour talking to Dr. Alveda King about the right to life as a civil rights issue, and then we'll discuss the Confession of St. Peter, remembered on this day by the church, with Dr. Carl Fikancher. Dr. Alveda King is Director of African American Outreach for Priests for Life and founder of King for America. Dr. King, welcome back.
Todd, thank you. It's so great to join you today.
How would your late uncle view 37 years of legalized abortion in America?
My uncle, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., believed in a beloved community. You know, in the book over of 1 John, it said, beloved, let us love one another. And certainly for Dr. King, that would have extended to the baby in the womb, as well as those who are mature, elderly, or even infirm until natural death. And so he would have to be very grieved, but then also very motivated to preach the gospel more strongly, knowing that so many babies are being lost to abortion.
What do you think he would think about the first African-American president who is sadly pro-abortion?
He would encourage the president to change his position, to remember the babies. Of course, Dr. King would have loved the president even in the midst of those decisions that he and the Congress of the United States continue to make to try to abort the babies. And so he would say to them, God put before us life and death and blessings and curses, choose life.
Is the right to life a bona fide civil rights issue worthy of being included with all the other things that are considered basic civil rights?
Well, when we speak even of our own Constitution and the preamble and the Declaration and everything, we're entitled to, every American is entitled to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Everyone on planet Earth, every human being is entitled to life. That's a natural and basic and fundamental civil right. As a matter of fact, it's the first civil right.
I was thinking earlier about your late uncle's words that he wrote from a Birmingham jail where he described the church that had once been a thermostat, setting the temperature with its moral and prophetic voice in society, now become a thermometer, simply recording the ambient temperature of society. What are your thoughts on that great insight?
I believe in that same letter he warned against infanticide, even as the Romans participated in an infanticide. And he said any culture or civilization that follows that practice is lost. And so now our barometers and thermometers have been put in the wrong measuring places, you know. We've got to go back to the human heart, and it must thaw out and be warm again. That stony heart must again become a heart of flesh, and America has to care again about its weakest. And right now, that really is the babies in the womb.
We've been watching over the last 20 years the number of Americans who regard themselves as pro-life. I don't know how that's defined, but they regard themselves as pro-life. And those who are willing to, at least in survey results, say that abortion is wrong. Those numbers have gone up. What are your thoughts on that hopeful sign?
It's a wonderful thing to observe. I read some polls today even. Some people are now saying that abortion should not be included in any health care plan, in any legislation, in any tax bills, anything that Americans have to pay tax for, should not include abortion. America now is at least 51% pro-life by definition. That, of course, can be different from different people. So that's very encouraging, because we went through a season, a very dry season, where America was not primarily, the majority of Americans were not pro-life. They were not willing to say that they were. So that is a sign that the things are coming back to the Lord. There was a saying, I've been saying, that the church can turn the tide, and many prophetic voices are saying that across America. And we see God's hand moving, and we see people being drawn back to God, and hearts turn back towards these little babies. So that is very encouraging. That means don't stop praying. Pray more. Don't stop talking. Talk more to your friends and your family and your community. Lift up Jesus and lift up life.
Dr. King, does it particularly impact, disproportionately impact, the African-American community?
It's interesting that you would ask that question. Of course, the abortion providers and the abortion community says, we're not targeting African-Americans. There's a greater need, because African-Americans are poor and Latinos are poor. So we go into their communities and offer these health services that they cannot afford. And so my question becomes, you bring your clinics into the urban areas, which are predominantly heavily populated by minorities such as African-Americans and Latinos, and then you offer as therapeutic service abortion, which is really a death warrant for a baby, and very possibly something that is going to harm the body of the mother. And yet you say this is good and that you care and you're trying to help people. Well, death warrants for little babies do not help people.
When some people read those words that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, they read that word life as merely the freedom to live your life as you would, the freedom to be unencumbered by too much governmental interference. They don't think about conception or birth. How would you correct their thinking?
We need to continue to remind people that life begins at conception, at fertilization, until natural death. And, you know, blessedly, science is on our side now, along with the ultrasounds. We've already known that it's a little baby. My pastor would always say, if it's not a baby, leave it there, and nothing will happen. So certainly we know that those are little people in the wombs of their mothers. The womb is supposed to be a sanctuary and not a tomb. And so we are encouraging people now to know, and to know that those are little babies, because, you know why a lie remains and seems to succeed. If a lie is told and truth does not confront it and correct it, then the lie continues to stand. And so it is truth that sets us free. You know, it's written that we shall know the truth and the truth shall make us free. So we have to speak the truth in love. Remember, we started out with, beloved, let us love one another. So that's not with judgment and finger pointing and hatred, but to encourage people to love each other and yet speak the truth in love.
Have you always been pro-life?
I've not always been pro-life. My family, my granddaddy, Martin Luther King Sr., of course, he's gone to be with the Lord now. My father, Reverend A.D. King. Our family primarily was pro-life. My mother, when she conceived me in 1950, actually wanted to get an abortion. She had heard from the Birth Control League, which later became Planned Parenthood, a woman has a right to choose what she does with her body, that no, there's no baby in your womb until the baby's born. Come and see us and talk to us. So she was pregnant, wanted to finish college. She had just started college, and her girls' college, you cannot go to college and be pregnant if you were married or not married. So she didn't want a baby. My grandfather said to her, Naomi, they're lying to you. That's not a lump of tissue. That's really a baby. She's my granddaughter. I saw her 3 years ago, and he began to describe me and how I looked. And so actually, mother decided for life. Daddy stood with her, of course, and the family did. I was born, and mom and dad had four other children. But that remained a secret, all of that about mom wanting to abort me and everything. The only thing that went down through the family, oh, your grandfather saw you in a dream, and you are so precious. And so we were primarily pro-life. In 1966, Planned Parenthood gave Martin Luther King Jr. one of the first Margaret Sanger Awards. He was one of the first to receive it. They lied to him. Remember, a lie that is told, if it's not challenged with truth, will stand. It's truth that defeats the lie. And so Dr. King did not go to the award ceremony. He did not receive the award. He did not read the speech. He did not write the speech. His wife attended and read a speech that someone else had written. If you read that speech and you read the words of Dr. King and you listen to his speeches and sermons out of his own mouth, you can see that he never would have written anything that says the most tragic thing in life is an unwanted child. That's what was written in the speech. But Dr. King, by his own words, had already said, he said, the law cannot make a person love me, but the law can keep a person from lynching me. And so certainly the law maybe can't make a mother want her baby, but it should not give her free license to kill her baby.
We're talking with Dr. Alveda King on this Monday, January the 18th. The right to life as a civil rights issue is our subject. Dr. King is the niece of the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., director of African American Outreach for Priests for Life and founder of King for America. When we come back, we'll find out why Dr. King has compared abortion to slavery, and we'll talk about the unborn and those at the end of life as our Christian neighbors. Be right back. You can call it what you like.